Verse 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. You see, that's all contrary to the truth. I can't imagine what this existence will be like. I don't state this lightly. You know, I realize that I sin just as much as anybody, but I'll tell you, the longing to be free from this flesh, the longing to be free from everything about this Son of Adam that stands before you is my hope of glory. And I long for that day when this flesh will be cast aside and laid down. And I enter into the presence of the Lord. And to know and understand, I can't imagine what it is not to have a sinful thought. I can't imagine what it is not to be drawn aside when I'm trying to worship by sinful thoughts, even as I stand here to preach, and the cares of this world and things that just constantly, it's like constant treading water, longing for that shore, longing to put these feet on solid ground. But I know that day's a coming by God's grace, because heaven is a haven from sin. You know, we only know a world of locks on doors, don't we? Of vaults, of keys. Why? Depravity of man. To me, that's one of the greatest indications of man's depravity. We have to lock everything up. And that's why Christ said, don't lay up your treasure on earth where moth and rust does corrupt and thieves break through and steal. We're not to put any confidence in these things. What will be an existence where all that is evil is no longer an issue, either within ourselves or without? I can't imagine, but that's what's described here. The gates of it shall not be shut at all. There'll be no enemy to fear. He's not just the head of his church, but as he prayed there in the garden, John 17, he thanked the Father that the Father had given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life unto as many as the Father had given. So that means he determines saved, he determines condemned. If you've got a problem with that, then you've got a problem with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't say that you believe in the Lord Jesus and then want to deny him his authority and rule to do as he will. That's nothing but pure rebellion. But then another beautiful picture here in 2 Samuel 23. We have the description of this one. It says, he shall be. David's not talking about himself here. He's looking forward to the fulfillment of this everlasting covenant in the person. It has to do with the person. Not just a set of doctrine, but a person. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds. We've had a few of those here in the summertime. It's a clear morning, bright, and no clouds to be found. Just a clear, bright day. How the sun shines when that's the case. Nothing hidden. Well, when did this light shine? When did the sun rise? When was it like a cloudless day when everything that obscurity dissipated? It was when Christ came on this earth. Here it's described as a tender grass springing out of the earth. That sounds like Isaiah 53 right there, tender plant. And that's where my heart cries out, knowing my own proneness to wander, my own sin and depravity in my thoughts, that he never wavered. And it's that obedience that God the Father once for all imputed to the account of everyone that Christ represents. I'll tell you, you ever get your eyes off of Christ and onto yourself and looking in here and comparing, you are going down to a deep, dark hole. There's no end. There's no hope. It's like a man falling in a well and just he's grasping at the air as he goes down that well. There's no hope in anything in us or people around us that you talk to and think, can you help me here? Nope. Apart from Christ and his finished work, we're all out in the sea as drowning sinners. And the only hope is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior, the Redeemer, the Justifier, the one who
fulfilled all righteousness on behalf of such as we are. So the heart of the obedient son is ever attentive to the voice of the Father.